Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is a whooping and lovely and also beautiful Tuesday evening, and we are going to have a heart-to-heart conversation. Now, this heart-to-heart conversation that we're going to have, we're going to be touching on sensitive material. So please, for those that are sensitive out there, please note that this is a triggerous conversation that we are going to be having. It might trigger you to feel bad. It might trigger you to feel good. It might trigger something, but that's the whole idea behind pulling heartstrings, is to trigger a food for thought, trigger a conversation, trigger a in-depth evaluation, trigger. We're supposed to be pulling heartstrings, and in the strings that we are pulling, we're supposed to be tugging away at bad things and embracing good things, beautiful things, and new things. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know that I am a motivator for change. I'm a motivator for leaving the bad and sticking to the good. I love such conversations. And also, when I think about myself, I would like to believe that I appreciate conversations, and not necessarily conversations of information, but conversations of what we're sharing, how we're sharing, what we're sharing, and when we're sharing what we're sharing. Ladies and gentlemen, if ever you would like to be my friend, you should be able to have conversations. You should be able to have those kinds of conversations, be it uncomfortable or comfortable. But also, I know, sorry, let me just quickly switch that one off.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Alrighty, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings. And today we're talking about change, but we're talking about change in a different way. We're talking about the type of change that doesn't sit too well with our spirits. The type of change that doesn't necessarily come with all the beautiful and all the flowers and the light and the candles and all of that. We're talking about the kind of change that leaves a distasteful taste in your mouth, and it lingers on your skin like cocoa butter. The type of change that echoes words of hopelessness and despair. The type of change that leaves you in despair, leaves you in desperation, leaves you clinging on to something that no longer exists. A kind of change that would resemble the change of death, but it's not death as it is still alive. The type of change that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy because it's so painful. And you might be experiencing it, or the next person might be experiencing it, or somebody might be doing it to you, or you might be watching somebody being done that to. And you're standing on the curve and you're standing on the sidelines and you're watching. You're watching as this change happens, and the change is not as beautiful as one would anticipate it to be. That kind of change. We're talking about the change that could come because of age, for example. Now, when we talk about the change that occurs in age, we're not talking about, or I wouldn't want to talk about those that are moving from adolescent to grown up and from grown up to senior citizen. I'm talking about being a functional senior citizen, and then you change to becoming a dependent senior citizen, and watching your parent that used to be superperson, superhuman, whoop a child's bum kind of parent, and now all of a sudden this parent of yours is so dependent on you. And this parent of yours cannot make decisions on their own. And this parent of yours is waiting on you to assist. And assistance is not wrong. And doing things for our seniors is not wrong. But I want to know how it feels like. I want to know how it feels like to watch your grandmother be a glorious warrior throughout your upbringing. And now she's cuckoo fragile and everything makes her sick. It's hospital visits here and there and she can't see now. And this is the change that happens with age. I want to know how it feels like, because, there's a friend of mine that has a mom that has dementia, and 90% of the time she was crying. It was either she's crying or she's going to stop her mom from getting into dangerous situations. And it would have been that her mom would just walk out of the house and she's like, no, I'm driving to town, but she hasn't driven in 10 years. And it seems like she can't come to terms with the fact that she's changed because of the disease.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on our radio station. That is the I, that is Eagle FM. And we are talking about change. We're talking about the uncomfortable change. We're talking about the painful change. We're talking about coming to terms with what your reality is right now, and it's not pretty. Good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys can call in also. The number in studio is 083-288-401. 083-288-401. That is the conversation. The conversation is the change that occurs, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty, and it is painful, and it is happening. And this is such a different kind of change, because when we speak of change, in most cases, we always associate change to growth, associate change to butterflies and dandelions. We always associate change to violets and skyscrapers. We associate change to hot air balloons and sausage flay overlooking a horizon that is magnificent. We assume it to be beautiful, but we don't talk about the different kind of change that is also change nonetheless. We don't talk about the sad kind of change that is still change nonetheless. We're not talking about your feelings as this change happens and what happens in this change. Now, there are various aspects in our lives, right, where we can say that, okay, in these instances, this change is capable and this is the type of change that is going through. We all picture it to be metamorphosis. We all picture it to be, wow, like the caterpillar turns into a butterfly and we are like, wow, that is amazing. You know, butterflies are beautiful, but in all honesty, the lifespan of a caterpillar and the lifespan of a butterfly, I would rather be a caterpillar than a butterfly, because a butterfly dies too fast. It doesn't have enough time to show off its beautiful wings, not unless it is captured by a collector of some sort and pressed down in a book to preserve its looks. And that is the butterfly for you. So we're talking about the type of change that comes with old age, and how about how it feels? Because when I look at it, every single time I look at my parents, because I've got a set of three, right? Every time, and more actually, and more and more and more. And also, with one of my parents, I have this aunt of mine that has been my aunt ever since kingdom come. Now, my mom is a Kombada mom. So with Kombada moms, I wouldn't know internal moms. Guys, because I was raised by a Kombada mom, I don't know internal moms. So don't come for me and say like, yeah, but it's not just Kombada moms, it's all moms. I wouldn't know, bruh. I wouldn't know if it is every other mom, because I was only raised by one mom. And this, my one mom is the one that taught me this one thing. So I don't know about other moms. I can assume, I can have an opinion on it, but I don't fully know because I didn't fully experience it. Okay. So relax. Calm down. Okay. So my mom is a Kombada mom, and my mom is a veteran. You know, she's a Kombada mom. She's a veteran. So throughout her youthful years, this is now her late 20s and early 30s, you know, she had friends, or she has friends, right, that come with her from Kombada, and they were in one class and all of that. And never in a million years has my mom ever introduced anybody to us as her friend. I was under the notion that my mother has so many siblings, and that's just how it is, because we were never introduced as, this is my friend from work. Never. It's always Auntie Berta. Now, when you are growing up and you see Auntie Berta a lot, and you see how you guys are in your family, and you guys see each other a lot as well, you assume that Auntie Berta is most probably related by blood, especially with the aunties and the uncles that were introduced to us were not people that were not reliable in any way. They're the type of people that if ever, we as my mother's children had to be taken somewhere, it's Uncle Victor, for example, that would come and collect us and drop us off, you know, per my mother's instructions, like a true uncle. You would assume it's her brother, or it would be, if my mom is going through a phase of some sort and she just wants peace and quiet, then it would be Auntie Parfait, for example, that would come and collect us, and we would spend a week at Auntie Parfait's house. So there was also, every weekend, I would be picked up, and I would go to Mirana. So these were basically aunts and uncles, and I never knew if we were related or not. And with Kombada people, if you know anything about Kombada people, they don't really have a precise sound, especially when it comes to their vernacular. They don't have a precise sound that you can identify them with, in terms of, this is a Kwambi, this is a Kwanyama, this is a Ndonga, this is, there's nothing like that. And also even with the Hereros, right? With the Hereros, it was also, my mom is fluent in Oche Herero. So you would assume it's her brother, guys. It's her brother, it's her cousin, it's her whatever. It is our uncle, this one. It's her auntie or something, right? Then this is what we would assume, because, I mean, they are not friends, right? If they were friends, they would be introduced as such, but they were not introduced as such. So, I have this aunt of mine. Now, with my aunt, she had been a deputy parent to me, like a deputy parent. When I was younger, they used to joke that, she's going to be my dad or she is my dad. And those are the jokes that they used to make, which are, even when she would come unannounced, like Friday, she would come unannounced and then she'd be like, no pack up. But luckily at that point, I was basically the only child in the house. So there was no, you're only taking yours and leaving others. It was more of let's go and then we go. You know, my mom comes back from work and then the elders tell her like, oh no, she went to Mirana. And it was like that. It was just like that. And the argument is that she's my dad. You know, she's baby daddy. And it was rightfully so, because Mirana is the one that's paying for school trips. Mirana is the one that's also buying cosmetics. Mirana is the one that's giving pocket money. Mirana is taking me all over with her. We're seeing beautiful things. We're going to beautiful places. I'm having an adventurous childhood on the expenses of Mirau, you know? So I've always known her to be this fierce auntie. I've always known her to be this fierce auntie. I've always known her to be gorgeous, gorgeous. And she has such a beautiful heart. She's one of those aunts that, that gives you something. And when she gives you that something, she'll forget about it completely, because it's not in her. It's not in her nature to keep track of who she gave what. So it's you that might remind her that everything you're wearing today, she bought it, or everything that you're wearing today, she gave it to you. And especially when our breasts came, or when my breasts started coming in, she was also the buyer of bras, and not the weird bras, right? The good bras, the ones that have lace and the ones that have filler and the ones that make you feel like a nice girl. She always used to say, you can be many things. You have to have beautiful underwear. This is something that she has said from the beginning of time. Even if your body fades into nothingness, have beautiful underwear so that every single time you look at yourself in the mirror, you can say, this is nice. This is nice. And I understood that because, she lived most of her life in Cuba. So she speaks Spanish, and she's so wonderful. She speaks Spanish and she's extravagant and she's nice and she's beautiful and she's got legs for days. Legs for days. Beautiful woman. And, because of who she was, that was also where I got to experience a lot of wealthy people. But it's a lot of wealthy people that are senior to her, because she's like a baby. At the time, she's an adult to Mimos, and then she's like a baby to the prominent. So she would have meetings here and there, and she would say itue, you know. And so she has a child as well. So we would go, it would be her rocking up with her two kids. And that was our growing up. And that was our thing. Now, this is somebody that I had always envisioned to be a powerhouse. I've always envisioned her to always be capable of strength. She was always strong. She's always been strong. She's always not dominant, right? But strong. Strong, resilient, beautiful, go-getter, educated. She's chatty. She's kunundongo. She was wonderful. You understand? She was absolutely wonderful in my eyes when we were growing up. And I think because I had been a dependent on her for such a long time. I'm a dependent most because I'm a child, right? I've been a dependent on her for such a long time that I would always, because of how I've seen her and how I've experienced her as her child, one of many, by the way, I was not the only one. I think she has like 50 children in general. And when I say 50, I mean it because she's paying for school in China for medicine. She's paying for school in Cuba and none of them are biological, but they are her children and she's taking care and she's coming through. In all honesty, she's coming through for everyone's children, all her comrades' children. She comes through when she comes through. I think she bought me my first phone in my life. I will never forget it. It was $800. And at the time, $800 is like 3,000. It's the equivalent of 3,000. It was a Motorola, this one with the heads, but it was color screen with polonaphic. Though it one's way, it's not like a katoshe, it's more, you know, upbeat, like with a yanka drum or something like that. Yeah, she bought me my first phone. So I've always pictured her. I've always pictured her to be, you know, Merau. She's gonna come through, you know, she's gonna assist. She's the assistant. You know, I've always pictured her to be like, yeah, sister. And then, recently she had gone through something and it had put her in a position a little bit where it was bad. It was detrimental. It was bad, you know, and in this, right? It was only, I think, 2 weeks ago. Where I finally stepped out of, she's gonna, like, she's a superhero. I finally stepped into the step of, I think it's time for me to take care of her. You know? I think, and that particular type of reasoning is the same one that made me see how much she's changed. Especially with age, you know, she's not running to the car upstairs anymore. She's not doing that, you know.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now. But I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Alrighty. So it was the first time that I actually started seeing, her for the stage in which she is, that she's aging. One, she's aging and, she's not as strong as she used to be. And she is also in a stage now that she needs assistance. And this assistance is not something that she's requesting. I believe that it is her right within herself for all the sacrifices that she has made for me. For all the times that she has come through for me, for all the tears that she has wiped off my face, for all the talks that she has had with me, for all the times that I went astray and she pulled me back in, for every single conversation she didn't need to have, but she had it. For every single piece of knowledge that she passed down to me with the Udeu, listen. For every single time that she said, Inowari, haunange. For every single time that she taught. For every single time that she corrected. For every single time that she said, let me see your school books. Let me see your school books. Okay, what are you struggling with? Okay, nandi kukongero tuta. Or what is the problem? What is it? No, I just feel like, okay, why do you feel like that? Because my, like, you know, we all go through the rebellious phase, but some people's rebellious phase is the phase of slamming doors and throwing tantrums and all of that. But mine was a bit more silent because of my circumstances. Mine was a bit more silent and I had her. My venting sessions were with her, and part of my venting sessions were also inclusive of my mom, you know. I go and complain to her about my mom. We say, yeah, she just wants people to be doing what, and she also did what, and you know, you go and complain for all the times that she didn't take our confidential conversations outside, for all the times that she taught me that people can be reliable. There are people that are out there that can be reliable, that would hear something and take it to the grave and understand confidentiality. For all of that, I believe she deserves to be taken care of by me. And that change is what I'm in right now. I feel like right now in my life, like, oh, like, ah, guys, I'm struggling. Because, whoa, guys, like, ah, no, I'm struggling. There's so much change in my life right now. And I think I'm officially, like, overwhelmed by the change. And I thought that certain things would remain the same, but they are not remaining the same. And I think I'm under a lot of panic and I'm under a lot of stress, and life still continues. That's what I hate about life. That no matter what you're going through, ne, when you're there to get out, like, what the hell is this, guys? Like, oh, so tomorrow is just tomorrow again, and we are waking up. Like, oh, okay, so yeah, it's Tuesday again. Oh, okay. Like, wait a minute, I'm going through things. Can't we just pause first and then, you know? Then we continue when we unpause. Life is not like that. Life is lifing, my dear. And it's through this life is lifing that I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by the amount of change that is happening. And it is not change of things are changing. It is circumstances and people. And this is just, it's touching my soul, and it's not touching my soul in a good way. It's touching my soul in a panicky way, because I would like to believe that I want certain things to remain the same, so that I know that something is a constant, you know, even though we all understand that life is continuous and nothing is permanent. There are just certain things that I'm not ready for, that kind of change. You know, I'm not ready to have period conversations. I'm not ready to have erection conversations. I'm not ready to watch my elders become senior citizens. I'm not ready to watch my super people become frail. I'm not ready to not have conversations with someone that I've always had conversations with, and it was fun and it was nice and it was loving, and now it's just, there's so much change happening. So I'm talking about that change. I'm talking about the sadness that comes with when people change. You know, when people change the switch on you, and it's not so always intentional. Sometimes they intentionally change their personalities, you know, and that's okay. But what if the change hurts you? What if the change is pleasant for them, but not pleasant for you? And is it a sense of exclusion? You know, when you're excluded out of somebody's life because they've changed and they're doing this now, it's that kind of pain that I'm talking about. That one. Like, yeah. So now the seniors, they are growing old and they're leaving you behind. they're leaving us behind at such a fast pace, and it sucks. It sucks to be here. It sucks. 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. 083-288-401. If you would like to see, if you would like to have a conversation about particular changes that are happening that you're uncomfortable with. You're uncomfortable with them. And it's not because you are not going to get comfortable with them. It's because you are afraid of the changes that are happening. You are afraid of it. It is unknown to you and you need to be eased in. You need someone to have a conversation with you. And just like my aunt was saying, so I went to see her the other day and my aunt is saying that, though, you must listen. Listen, guys. Not me, I like those. Listen. I'm like, yes, I'll listen. She's saying that, one thing that you must also have is conversations, right? You must have conversations with the small one. You must have conversations with the small one so that he understands what's happening. And he understands, that it's not a bad thing completely, even though something bad is happening, is not a bad thing completely. And it is a change that is uncomfortable and it is painful, but this is where we are going regardless. We're just happy that we are still here. So we must have conversations. How many of us have true and meaningful conversations, especially with partners? I feel that most relationships, right? The only time that people genuinely have conversations is because is in the beginning of the conversation where you guys are trying to sell yourselves as a good product. And that's when you have conversation upon conversation and the conversations never cease to end because they are meaningful. They are teaching. They are wonderful and they are not filled with friction or tension. They are smooth flowing because there is an interest. Now, somebody once said that when there is no interest, when the interest drops, then efforts fade. When you are no longer interested in something, you will no longer put in effort. When you are no longer, and this lack of interest doesn't mean that you are not loving and you don't care and you want out or anything. It just means that buzzers and that interest that was there, right, is no longer there. And the interest could be in anything. It could be in sex. It could be in conversation. It could be in staying together. It could be in talking to each other. It could be any kind of interest, right? Especially when there's friction already and there's tension already. There are certain things that can't be repeated anymore because it is evident. Because it is evident that it's not going to change because somebody cannot repeat the same thing for 10 years and you expect this person to not give up on this conversation. People do give up on conversations. People give up on people. People give up on people because most of the people that are being given up on are people that don't even notice when somebody is giving up on you. They only go and notice, right? When somebody has been so far gone that there's no turning back. Then that's when we want to bring out the flowers. That's when we want to have conversations. But who's going to have a conversation with somebody that don't want to have a conversation with? Because the floor has been open this whole entire time, but yet an opportunity has not been taken because many of us become comfortable. We become complacent. We become so comfortable with the fact that certain people are always going to be here. And we don't put in effort. We don't put in effort because we don't have interest, because it's always going to be there. But something that is running around and going somewhere, you are interested in it, and that's why you put in that extra effort. But something that is here and it's stationary and it's stable, right? You have no interest in it because you assume that it is forever. But I believe that forevers are only there from effort and interest. Forevers are only there when you have an interest, when you create an atmosphere where this forever can thrive. Where you create an atmosphere where it is continuous. I always say that life has been so long, right? There should always be something to talk about, something to learn, something to hear, something to see. And it must be also vice versa. Many of us are in relationships and we are talking up a storm. But is our partner also talking? And they used to talk, right? This is what I'm talking about. They used to talk and now they don't talk anymore. Because you have been so, so in love with your own voice that you don't allow others to share experiences. And even when they share experiences, right? Your opinion sucks. Like, sometimes conversations are beautiful when we can share, like, tell me about it. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. That's interesting. Doesn't have to be like, yeah, but me, many of us have the me syndrome, right? And we make everything about us. But today's conversation is really about us. It's not about the next person. It's about us. What we are going through as we watch the world around us change. It's a scary thing to experience. And I'm telling you firsthand because I'm terrified. I'm terrified. I learned lessons, right? I learned lessons in this life that I would never wish for anybody to learn these lessons. You must have a funeral policy for your parents. You must have a funeral policy for your parents because the day that your parents die, when that change comes, when you change now from being a person with parents to being a person without parents comes, the event will go on and everything will go on, but it will sit with you. That you didn't contribute and you didn't bury your parent the way they were supposed to be buried for what they've done for you.
Usave's combo for just 599 Namibian dollars is so popular that we gladly repeat it. Hurry to get yours. 10 kilograms each of Champion Super Maize Meal, Pokomo Fetgo Flour, Nice Rice, and 10 kilos Marathon White or Brown Sugar. All four products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save. I save. Yes, we all save at Usave.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the uncomfortable change. We're talking about that change that, it doesn't really sit too well with us because it's like, yo, like I never thought, like, you know, it's like going to school. So now we move from the aging change, right? The aging change. So my mom is recently pensioned, right? And I always pictured her. I don't know how I pictured her. To be honest, I don't know how I pictured her, but one thing that I do know is that she is definitely in a honeymoon phase. My mom is in a honeymoon phase. She's never looked so great. She's never looked so happy. She's never been this chilled and this relaxed in her whole entire life. I don't know this version of my mother. I love it, but I don't know this version of my mother. My mother is very calm. My mother is very chilled. I think work was stressing the hell out of her. And I think her office was chilly, was stressing the hell out of her. You know, my mother went from the office and never went back. Not even to collect her things. She just says, if you pass by the office, bring my, I left my pass. She has never stepped foot in that office ever again. She's like, I'm done, guys. I'm out. So, like, I don't know, but she did a good job. She did. So there's that change of when people are aging or when people become ill, you know, and they become a shell of what they used to be in your views. And then they regain their strengths and they become phenomenal, or they remain shells. So that remaining of being a shell and the negative aspect of it, because the positive part, yes, that's great, but the in transit to the end of the struggle, or the in transit to the end of the ailment, right? That is the hardest journey, because you watch it in real time. And when you watch it in real time, you as a support system, or you as a bystander, you are affected. You are affected whether you like it or not, you are affected. And that is why, right, I can advise you that if there is a little bit of income and there's a little bit of something, you know, cover the people that you know that in the event of this person's passing, everybody will turn around and say, but you are a beneficiary to her. And it doesn't have to be a beneficiary in terms of she has a policy for you out there, or a life cover, or whatever is out there. It's a beneficiary of this person's life. You've been beneficiaries to many people's lives. Like with me, I expect you Eagle FM listeners to bury me, ne? Yeah? You guys must get me a nice tombstone. You guys must bury me, because you guys have been a beneficiary of my essence. You guys have been a beneficiary of everything that I have represented here at this radio station. So I'm like the ex-combatants that say, kuchanga itandini ngiro police and dipfumvi kwake pangerora nami biasha shoshirongo shinotwe shibida. Eh? Oshirongo shinotwe shiponkara mwenyo vetu. We have given this country our lives. We have blood, tears, and sweat for this country. I will not bury myself. This country must bury me. And that was my father's words. My father said exactly that. Kuchano, Namibia must bury me. Come hello, high waters. Namibia must bury me. You guys must just find a way, but Namibia must bury me. This government must bury me. And it is true. The government did. Or the country did, you know. Of which is a good thing. So we're talking about the changes, and now we are moving on. A person changes their personalities due to natural life experiences, personal growth, or in some cases, a medical or mental health condition. Gradual changes are normal, but sudden or extreme shifts can signal a need to consult a professional, as they may be caused by brain disorders, mental health conditions like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, substance use, or other symptoms. But we are saying that it is absolutely normal for somebody to change from life experiences for personal growth reasons, and in some cases, medical or mental health conditions can also be a personality change or a personality shift, right? So these types of personality shifts, it could be so natural and gradual personality changes. We started with age, right? That is a natural and gradual, because this happens over a span of time, you know, where somebody gets to the age of 70s, 80, you know, and they change. They change to be either lovely, they change to be the Godzilla, they change to be whatever they're changing into be because of their age. That's why you can find, I was talking about this, old lady in Ohangu. I think she was like, I don't know, 100 years old or something like that. But, she was a person, she doesn't have a husband, she doesn't have kids. And basically she's in the house with people that are basically taking care of her. So we had gone and, we had taken her hungry lion. We had taken her hungry lion and, she started eating her hungry lion, and she ate the chips, and then she started eating the chicken. Now there are young kids or there are children in the house, and she doesn't have teeth. So she came to a point where it was time to, for the bones, right? So she would suck off all the meat and eat it, right? And then she turned around and said, "Tambenyo masipa mukogote." The kids were like, "Ah, no, Kuku, like, it's cool. We, it's fine. You can throw the bones to the dogs." And, our auntie was like, "Yeah, she's not the nicest." But in that case, I understood, because I figured that old people are extremely mean. Old people are extremely mean because they have no filter. They say exactly what they want to say when they want to say it. Old people are like children. Children also don't have filters. That is why whatever you say in front of your children will come out if you're talking about somebody. That's why you guys must always be careful what you guys are saying. You guys say things like, "No, that one doesn't listen. She's not listening to our conversation. I'm on TV." And then tomorrow, Auntie Twenty comes and, your child, your 4-year-old is like, "Auntie Twenty, you must not come here because Mommy and Auntie Cynthia were saying that you are a home wrecker. You like stealing people's husbands." I didn't say that. It's true. You were saying it yesterday. And even when she was calling, you were making like these faces with Auntie Sylvia when you guys were talking about, the green car. So now Auntie Twenty knows exactly that it did happen, because yesterday she called and you guys were talking about the green car. So that is why. So I feel like that change, that age change, those are the things that happen. Now imagine you've had a lovely mom all your life that filters, you know, that filters and that is trying to not make you feel bad. And so she doesn't just say things, and then she just grows into this old lady that just talks. And then you go there like, "Mommy, I just feel like, Mommy, I just feel like my life is going so bad." And then she just turns around and says, "Kuja, how can your life not go bad? You're a bad person." How? It's the same mother that has always been nice. So this is natural and gradual personality changes. Then we go to our second one, which is life experiences. Significant events such as trauma, marriage, job changes. Job changes. Sounds like two things. Okay. Significant events such as trauma, marriage, job changes, or the death of a loved one can alter a person's perspective and over time their personality. Did you hear that? Have you ever wondered why married women or married men just become different? They change. It is because of the marriage. Right? It is because of that particular significant life change that happened that also just kind of changes them, because, like it is said that there's no manuscript to how we are supposed to be living this life. There's nothing that it tells us, okay, so this that you're doing, matriarch, is absolutely correct, and this is not correct. There's no manuscript that tells us that. So that's why we can understand when somebody changes their personality, it is because of something, it is because of something, it is because of something. But my issue with this is not necessarily that the person is going through their changes. My problem is the person that's next to them, watching them change. And there's nothing they can do about it. That one. So picture this. They get married, right? And then the husband decides to be a full-blown husband, and he doesn't make jokes or whatever. Whatever he thinks that married men should be, he becomes that. And now you as a wife, you are sitting with somebody that you didn't bargain to be with. You married this person because you love their personality. You love their jokes. You love the things that they bring to the table. Then they decide that now that they are married, they're not bringing these things onto the table anymore. They are doing a 360. You, your husband or your boyfriend that used to chill with you and talk all night. All of a sudden, this guy decides that he sleeps at 9 o'clock now. Like this, like, yeah. Then you go to bed and then you're like, yeah, but I was thinking. And then the person is like, no, me, I'm sleeping sharp. Because he's a married man, and married men for him sleep at 9 o'clock. And then this is just something that you apparently must get used to. There are certain things that are the reason that people are with you. And when those things go and change, right? Then there's nothing else to be there for. Because if you used to be my friend, right? You're my lover, my friend. I could talk to you. I could cry to you. And now there's no room for conversation with you. There's no room for alone time. There's no room for nothing when it comes to a personal and intimate relationship apart from coitus. Then what am I there for? Then you are a complete stranger to me. And this is also something that happens when we are scouting for lovers, right? That's why we say that it's dangerous to tell somebody exactly what you like, because people have a tendency of becoming what you like up until they get you, and then they go back to who they actually are. Now, who they actually are might not be a person that you like, might not be a person that you're interested in. They might be obnoxious. They might be skinnerbeker. They might be these terrible people with terrible perspectives of life, right? And now you are stuck with this person because this person was pretending to be somebody else. And it's that pretense, right? That people say things like, I feel like I don't even know you anymore. And it's true. Because if you are sitting with a dude that sleeps at 9 o'clock, that doesn't have meaningful conversation with you, that doesn't want alone time, that doesn't go on holidays, all that he does is, yeah, we must go to the village to go and check out Meme and Tatekulu, and we must also go and drop off some things at your mother there. It, like, it is a caring gesture that you're taking care of all the parents, right? But how about the person that you're married to? So in the relationship, you used to go on vacations. Yeah. I fell in love with you on a vacation. You know, when you thought of like this beautiful flower, this is for you. And now you are thinking of a top score. You know, a price I use, you 10 kg, then you used to have a cool guy, and now all you have is a bamboo topi, bruh. And you're like, bruh.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwigs at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
All right. Good evening to you. If you have just joined us, welcome to Pulling Heartstrings. And we are having a conversation about change. The kind of change that leaves a distasteful taste in your mouth. The kind of change that leaves you questioning the principles on which something was built on. The kind of change that leaves you feeling delusional. The kind of change that makes you feel like you were gaslit into something. The kind of change that makes you change your whole entire existence because things are not the same anymore. The kind of change that is not necessarily that it is not welcome. The kind of change that comes with shedding everything, even the good. I don't have a problem with somebody changing bad things, changing bad patterns, changing bad behaviors. But what happens now when you change completely into something that I hate, into something that I don't like, into something that is not pleasurable to me? Imagine this. You meet Matriarch, a sober person, right? You fall in love with Matriarch because she told you this grandiose story about how she overcome alcohol addiction and she's a couple of years sober and she's just wonderful, you know, and you were particularly, because we have preference, right? You were particularly looking for a sober girl. You are looking for a sober woman because you have this idea that if you can have a sober woman, you can have a stable house, you can have a city, you know, this, you just have a preference, and your preference is for this stage in my life, for somewhere in my 40s, somewhere in my 30s, somewhere in my 50s, somewhere in my 20s even. I want a sober woman. Then you meet Matriarch, and Matriarch literally is telling you that, yo, I'm the embodiment of sober. I'm the embodiment of I don't touch liquor. I'm the embodiment of we can go anywhere and I will not slip away to go and have a bottle of liquor. I'm not that. And that means I am sober all the time. And you like that. That is exactly what you were looking for, you know? You were looking for this and you get it. Now, personalities, you start talking because already you're smitten by the fact that she has one of the biggest qualities on your checklist when looking for a partner or looking for a spouse. And you guys are together for 7 years, right? So she's adding on to her sobriety belt. And then every day she's adding on. So you found her like maybe 2 years sober, 3 years sober, 10 years sober. And you are together for like 7 years. And, you know, she's sober. And then you finally, you know, because Namibian men, it's more 7 years. You guys spend 7 years with women before you marry them. I don't know what it is about the number seven, but okay. You guys like that. You guys are jiggy with that one, number seven. All right. So after 7 years, right? And she's this amazing person. There are flaws here and there, but she has the one quality that you like. So she goes through everything sober. She might talk a lot, you know, matriarch kind of talks a lot, you know, but nonetheless, on a good day, it's nice. At least she's not at the bar. So if every single time you call her, where is she? She's at home. Where is she? She's at work. Where is she? She's businessing. Where is she? She's shopping for work. Where is she? She's shopping for kids. That's it. And for you, that was what you wanted. Most. It could have been for various reasons. It could have been that you had an alcoholic mom and you don't want to bring children into the world where they have an alcoholic mom. It could have been that you've seen firsthand what alcohol does. It could have been for various reasons, but you've made your bed, right? Lay in it. And the bed that you made is the bed of a sober woman. That's what you want. Then you guys get married, and then 3 years into the marriage, she's going through whatever she's going through. She's not talking about it. And one night, you smell alcohol on her breath. And she comes home dancing. Yeah, matriarch is dancing. Matriarch is singing. What's that bad time? There's no need to pen to get. She's waking up the whole entire house. We must drink now and we must. And this is her. Now you think that this is a slip up, right? Then she just falls into these habits. She just changes on you. Now, what happens with this is that the thing that took precedence, right? The thing that took precedence over why you wanted her in the first place, it vanished. Now they are just little qualities, small qualities, not the one that made the overall package amazing. But small qualities that don't even equate to 20% of the reason that you were with her in the first place, right? Yeah, she's still hardworking. Now she's just a functioning alcoholic. She still goes to work functioning. She's still doing most things. She's still cooking and cleaning and washing or whatever tickles your fancy, right? But now she drinks. Now she drinks like a fish. She drinks. You were accustomed to 10 years with this person where no matter what, when you open the fridge, there's no bottle of alcohol. No, there's no bottle of alcohol. And now when you get up to go and get a glass of water or get a bottle of water, because you guys are bougie like that, it's like a service station inside you people's houses. The fridge just looks like a service station. Okay. But anyhow, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that, wow, must be nice, right? Now, every single time you open the fridge in the middle of the night, going to grab a water, you have to actually open your eyes because you might just drink alcohol unintentionally because she's got her six pack of what inside the fridge. But this is not what you wanted. This is not what you wanted. This is not what you signed up for. And now you are being pressurized into staying with something that you don't like. And this person says that, I know, it's just change. But it's not a nice change. It's a change that comes with something that you don't want. So maybe part of your problem was that, you know, she's very anxious or she's very uptight and she's very depressed or she's very emotional and she's very serious about everything, you know? And now the nice thing is that now she's not serious about anything at all. So even the arguments, they are not there. And she's not anxious about anything. She's not complaining to you about, oh, I'm so anxious today. She's not nervous about nothing. Whether she messes it up or she doesn't mess it up, she doesn't care because she's intoxicated. So all the other problems that you thought that you had, right, with her paling comparison to, next to the problem that she's now having, of which is the alcohol. And now it's destroying everything. Then what? And they say it's change, right? She just changed. She just woke up one day and she changed. She just woke up one day and she just decided that she's going to drink liquor. And that's it. There goes the sober woman that you fell in love with. There she goes, friend. There she goes. And she says, I can stop at any time. But we all know that that one is something else. We're talking about that. Ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. We're talking about change, and we're talking about change that doesn't necessarily leave a wonderful taste in your mouth. Now let's go to trauma. Let's go to trauma. The change that happens after you've been traumatized. So we're not talking about you. We're talking about the person that's changing on you. Or it could be that we're talking about you that has changed and people have to now live with the you that you've become. And it's not everything about you that's pleasant. It's not everything. So, hypothetically, your best friend goes through a traumatic experience, right? Your best friend loses everything. And when we are saying everything, your friend loses everything. Loses car, loses house, loses money, loses every little thing in the world. And then your friend is traumatized by the experience. And the one thing that your friend had left, which was her sanity, right? Your friend loses that too. And now your friend becomes a stranger. Your friend is basically picking up plastics outside and tatorundoha, and you are now looking at her like somebody that you used to know, looking at him like somebody that you used to know. Have you ever met somebody that you assumed that they are gonna be something, and then you meet them and the condition in which you find them is not at all what you expected? You find them standing at the robots begging, or you find them somewhere, you know, and they are drunk in the middle of the afternoon, and you're like, but I didn't see this for you. Those unpleasant changes. So in traumatic experiences, right, just because the trauma is over doesn't mean it doesn't linger. There's a saying that says that the body in itself keeps count. So you have to heal the body, then you heal the mind. You have to make sure that the body feels safe in being the body, right? Because every bit of good and every bit of bad lingers within your body. That's why some of us that come from abusive household, the slamming of doors is a trigger. It's like a trigger. I don't know why angry people slam doors, but yo, if you want to lessen the impact of trauma, stop slamming doors. Because even in our adult years, when doors slam, you still just go back just like that. The body keeps score.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Alrighty. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? So, with trauma, right? Just because the trauma is over, just because the car accident is over, doesn't mean that I don't relive the car accident. Doesn't mean that things don't remind me of the car accident. Doesn't mean that I am over the car accident. Doesn't mean that just because it was 10 years ago, I'm not afraid of cars still. Just because no one died doesn't mean I'm not still terrified. And because of this terror, right? I can sit in a car with 10 seat belts because I'm generally just afraid of them. I'm afraid of what I've seen, what I've experienced, and also now new traumas that are placed onto this experience, and it's just wild. And that's exactly what trauma does. Trauma just reminds you. It reminds you that, hey, so once upon a time you were in danger. Once upon a time you almost died. Once upon a time you were unsafe. Once upon a time, because you got into a vehicle, this happened. And living like that is terrifying. There are certain people that, I think it's agoraphobia or something like that. There are certain people that don't leave their houses anymore. Literally, they don't leave their houses because of anxiety disorder and because of traumatic experiences and because of OCD and because of whatever reasons, right? They don't leave their houses anymore because they are terrified of the outside. And part of the terror of outside is, what if something bad happens to me? And this doesn't come from nothing bad having happened to you. It could be that you were even exposed to seeing bad things happen to other people, and you were just so traumatized from that experience alone that you just vowed to never leave the house. And then it's been 5 years. You've never left the house. And we think that these things don't happen, but they do. They do. There are people that don't leave their houses at all. They don't leave their houses. They are just in their house. 6 months, they are just in the house. And you're thinking like, and many of us don't think about it because it's something that is strange to us. We don't think about the last time we saw somebody. Especially with what COVID had done. COVID had come to show us that going to the office is not a necessity if you can do it at home. Going to work is not a necessity. You don't have to. So there are some people that ever since COVID, they just work from home and have Zoom meetings. And now imagine you also develop some form of trauma or some form of bad experience. And now you can order your food and dial a meal will come to your house and leave your food on the front door and you just make your payment. And everything is accessible. There are even people that go shopping for other people. Like literally, they get paid for it. They go shopping for you. You just send a list, you send the money, they go shopping, they buy everything, and then they come and drop it off at your house. There are people that will come in to clean your house. There are people that will wash your laundry. There's a person for everything. There's even a person that will come and help you cook. As long as you don't leave your house. So, trauma is real. It's so deep. It's so deep and it's so unexplainable to a person that has not experienced what you have experienced. And I think that with conversations, right? With conversations, there's a level of understanding that can come from it. And just watching, imagine your wife used to be this vibrant woman that is going out with her friends and is living her life. And then all of a sudden after COVID, she just doesn't leave the house at all. And then when I say doesn't leave the house at all, she really just doesn't leave the house at all. So you are going to take, you are taking the kids, you're dropping the kids off. They are going to extramural activities. She doesn't go. She comes and asks them how it was. So every single party and every single event and every single holiday that you want to have on the outside, you go alone because your wife is terrified of leaving the house. One day you drag her out of the house. Could you just see it's not dangerous? And she cries and has a meltdown. So it's real. So sometimes, right, things like traumatic experiences, they can break you. They can break you. It's like, you know, that vibrant person that you used to know. Then she was raped, right? And after that incident, she was just never the same. She used to laugh a lot. She used to be funny. She used to be with you guys. She used to do all of that. Now all of a sudden it's like every time she sees you guys, she runs away. Could be shame. It could be fear. We don't know what it is because she doesn't talk to anybody. And she just stopped being social. Everything on her status is just about, it's just about grief and death and rape. And it's just giving darkness. And that's what happens when something traumatic happens to you. Then you change into this person that is introverted. Used to be an extroverted person. Used to be out there in the world. Used to wear what you want to wear. Used to like what you like. Used to like your music. You used to be vibrant. And then now you just become a shell of who you used to be. And it does happen. It happens. That change does happen. Okay. So we've said that trauma, life experiences, right? Trauma changes people. Jobs, which are marriages, changes people. Job changes. So now, job changes. For example, you are in retirement. Eh? For example now. For example, you were in retirement. Then all of a sudden, you are chilling in your retirement. You are having your fun in retirement. Whoopie-doody. And then the president calls you back to come to work. And it is not even your industry. I'm just saying, maybe for example now. Eh? Job changes also have a tendency to change your personality. You maybe used to work in radio. And then all of a sudden, you go and work in HR. Now, HR in itself is not radio. It's something else. So maybe you realize that the load is a lot, or the load is different, and you start struggling here and there. And this struggle, or this lack of struggle, is also what draws your personality to changing. So it happens. Then there is also death of a loved one. I was having a conversation the other day. I think it was last week. I was having a conversation the other day, and this particular lady, her name is Mamai. Oh, okay. Her name is Mamai. She posted a video of Marlene Monroe, and Marlene Monroe was screaming, but that scream, it echoed in my soul. Like, you know that scream of pain? Yeah. It was that one. So when I viewed it and it played, it just triggered my ancestors like instantly, like, no, call this person, talk to this person. Let's see what is happening here. And we had a conversation and I asked her what's wrong. And she said that, ever since her dad died, she feels like she's just dying every day inside. She feels like she's just screaming like that inside and nobody understands, and people tell her to get over it, and people tell her to, you know, it's not the end of the world. And people even have the audacity to say things like, yeah, but losing a mother is worse. So be grateful that you still have your mother. But then also she's known her dad all her life and she has been a daddy's girl. You understand? And she's going through this experience and it's depressing her and it is making her feel so bad. And she doesn't talk to anybody anymore. You know, she just keeps quiet and she doesn't go out and she's just at home and she's developing a fear of leaving the house and she's just in a bad space. And this is what we're talking about. That change, you know, that change of you are changing into somebody that you don't recognize either. And imagine now the loved ones of someone I always say that there are some relationships that can never survive the death of the spouse, of the parent of the spouse. There are some relationships that can't survive it because their foundation is not strong enough. Because we can see it from the way they take care of one another, the way they hear one another, the way they talk, the way they are with one another when it comes to personal issues. Now, if you, your boyfriend, is always just a chill net and it's just chill sessions, it's Sundag sessions, it's net sessions of a session of a session, and your mother dies, and you need an outlet, right? Before you go now to the professionals, if it gets very bad, you need an outlet. But every single time you want to talk to your partner says, Abba, will it survive? I don't think so. I don't think it will survive. And also people get tired of people's grief. People get tired of people's mourning because I feel like people put a timeline on death. Like, how long are you supposed to grieve? How long are you supposed to mourn the death of somebody that you loved? And when it reaches a certain threshold, then people become tired of your conversations about the deceased. Even if this person was your whole entire life, wrapped in a bowl and given to you. So, yeah. And these are part of the life experiences that change a person's personality. And also being a person that has to support another person that is going through grief, right? And you watch your vibrant person become a shell. You watch your vibrant person not enjoy anything, not enjoy food, not enjoy the series that you used to watch together, not enjoy conversations or the drive, not enjoy nothing at all, right? This is where you watch your person change right in front of you. And there's not much you can do about it. If you are strong, you can look for help and assistance will come. But that's if you are strong. But most of us are not strong for other people. We want other people to be strong for us, but we are not strong for other people. We want people to move heaven and earth for our things. But when it's their turn to get the same from you, you can't do it. You are not patient enough with somebody's trauma. You're not patient enough with somebody's pain. You're not patient enough with somebody's anxiety. You keep putting them in position of reliving bad experiences. And you get mad as to why they feel the way they feel. Because, I mean, it's nothing. Because you only see today. But you don't see other experiences. You don't see other days. It's like you that used to beat your wife 10 years ago. And today, even when you raise your hand, even though you haven't touched her in 10 years, right? You raise your hand unexpectedly, she still flinches. And then you get angry. Because, yeah, but I haven't beaten you in 10 years. Why are you doing that? It's because you did it in the first place, sir. It's because you did it. It's because it's not like you didn't do it. It's because you did it. And my body, right? Still has to come to terms with the fact that somebody that I loved did that to me. So, excuse me, sir, if it will take a little bit more than 10 years for me to get over the fact that you whoop my bum. So, it's that. That's what we're talking about. That change. Then your person becomes timid. Have you ever met somebody that used to be vibrant and loving and then they meet this guy, this guy that beats girls?
This guy that beats girls, your friend that used to be vibrant and used to wear beautiful colors and used to do her hair and used to do all these beautiful things with herself, that self-care kind of girl. And then she just starts dating this guy from hell, better. And this guy is whooping her. This guy is beating her left, right, and center inside that house. She just becomes a whole punching bag, like waka, 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 waka. Every day it's the ER. Every day it's hospital. Every day it's a bruise. Every day it's a cut. Every day it's what? And then she just becomes this person that you don't know. Eh? You don't know. She comes and visits you, but she visits you for 20 minutes. Because if she doesn't check in, she'll go and get beaten today for dear life. Eh? She must also get dropped there by you. And then she must also have her GPS on or what, the tracker on or whatever. She changes. Her personality changes. And even when the breakup happens, right? That is still there. So even in the next relationship, even if the guy is loving and he raises his arms unexpectedly, she's ducking. Why? Because she came from that. Now her personality is just about ducking. And I read this post the other day of a girl that was dating her high school sweetheart kind of person. And every time they would get into an argument or a misunderstanding of some sort, right? The guy would basically stonewall her or ghost her or just go AWOL, you know, apparently. And then he'll come back like after 3-4 days and then he's like, yeah, I'm better now. I just had to go and cool off. And first she used to call and go over like, yeah, can we talk and all of that? And then he said blatantly like, me, I need space because I'm angry and I don't want to do anything to you. So just give me space until I come back. Now, until I come back could be 1 week. Until I come back could be 2 years. Until I come back could be 3 days, you know? But she got accustomed to that in the years that they were together. So eventually they had broken up. Eventually she left the guy. And then she started dating like maybe 2 years after that, because you have to heal most from such things, from such relationships. You can't just jump into a new one because you are going to go and traumatize people's children with your trauma. Eh? Because you are not fit for consumption, okay? You are not fit to be eaten. Uh-huh. So it took her like 2 years and then she thought she had healed from it. And she thought she had, you know, worked on the issues. But it's easy for us to say that we've worked on issues when we were alone, because there was nobody else there to hold us accountable to the things that we are doing wrong. There was nobody there to actually steer us into the direction in which we wanted to go. That's why an accountability partner is important. That is why even in AA, you get a sponsor, somebody that you can talk to, somebody that you can held accountable, that can hold you accountable and hold you to your word. So she started dating. And then the first misunderstanding they had, they argued now with the guy. And then she just kept quiet. You know, she just stopped talking to the guy. Now the guy is calling and she doesn't know what to do with it. She doesn't know what to do with it because usually in the other relationship, even if she was correct, even if this guy was so wrong, right? She was always the one that's apologizing first and crawling back to him because he was the price apparently. Like, yeah, guys. Because he was the golden price and he was the trophy and he was God's gift to women better. So when her now boyfriend started talking to her, like maybe an hour or like 15 minutes after the argument, right? She didn't know what to do with that information. So she just kept quiet. So the guy's like, are you okay? Like, are you sure you're okay? Like, can we talk about it? Like, she's just looking at the text. She's just sitting there looking at the text coming in and she has no idea how to respond, no idea how to talk about nothing. She has no idea. And the guy goes over and he's like, ah, no. Like, what is this of ignoring me? Like, why are you ignoring me? Let's talk. Can't we fix it? And she was genuinely shocked. Like, don't you need like 5 days or 7 days to cool down? And he laughed. Like, to cool down from what? Like, yeah, to cool down, because I thought that men in relationships, right? Because this was also her first relationship in her life. And she's like, I thought that men in relationships, when they are angry,
They need like a couple of days to cool down and then they can come back and then I can apologize. And he's like, but what are you apologizing for? Because in this case, you were not wrong. I was wrong. So what would you be apologizing for? And he's like, she's really genuinely just shocked. Like, hey? So I'm not apologizing. You are coming over. You are bringing snacks. We are cool. You are not mad. You are not giving me an attitude. We are fine. Like, and he's like, absolutely. And she's like, this is what a healthy relationship looks like. And he's like, yes, ma'am. Now can I come in? And she's like, of course, you see. You see how it can change your, all of this can change your personality. The one that you thought was like so great. And then we've got number three, which is personal growth. Personal growth is now people can consciously work to change aspects of their personality, such as becoming more patient or outgoing through personal goals and efforts. So people do and can change their own personalities, right? For personal growth. Now, this is the type of change that I encourage, the type of change where you're like, you know, I'm going to change. I'm going to leave these bad habits, right? I'm going to leave these bad habits and I'm going to find healthy and conducive and beautiful routines and beautiful things to do with my time instead of these bad habits. And I'm going to just see the type of person that I want to become. I'm going to be less angry. I'm going to learn how to count my steps. I'm going to learn how to give people positive feedback. I'm going to learn how to wait a bit before I answer. I'm not going to be answering impulsively because I figured that it hurts feelings when I just blab out my mouth like that. Those are personal growth. That's personal growth. And personal growth is very much welcome and it's amazing, especially if you don't forget any other aspect. Because with personal growth, what we forget is other things. We forget other things to add them onto this bucket of what we are doing in our personal growth things. So Elizabeth wants to do personal growth. So Elizabeth is going to be waking up every day at 8 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock, she's at the office. She's working. She's going to be working, and this is going to enhance her confidence, and it's going to enhance her what. And then after that, she's going to be going to the radio, and she's going to be working, you know, and also she's going to learn how to socialize and interact with her friends again, and she's going to be interacting with her friends. But then what about Elizabeth's spouse? Elizabeth's spouse that now never sees Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's spouse that's now stuck with a tired Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth is busy working on personal growth. Personal. Like they are not private. This is personal growth. Yeah, I'm working on personal growth. I'm working on myself. Oh, like, oh, okay. All right. Great. But is working on yourself also going to assist the next person in receiving you with growth? Is it a conversation that you guys are having? Are there boundaries put in place? Because you can have personal growth, right? But I can set boundaries and I can say that, no, you can do whatever you want to do during the week, but Sundays are for family. You can do whatever you want to do, but you don't bring your friends home. You can do whatever you want to do, but personal holidays are personal holidays. You can go out there and you can live and experience and all of that, but there are just certain things that are just exclusive for us. There are just certain things that are not supposed to be done by you. But now, if there's never a conversation about growth and change and what you want and what you are expecting and how you see yourself in the next couple of years and how you are feeling recently, then when do you set up these boundaries? When do you now have a conversation about, yeah, so I think that this is a brilliant idea. I think that this is nice, right? I would appreciate if maybe we can just cut down on these particular things, or we can just look at it from this perspective, or we can maybe enhance this that you already started and make it bigger and beautiful. But now, sometimes with personal growth, what people do is they cut out people completely out of their personal growth. And that's why you hear things of, I just cut them off because they didn't align with me. Now, this cutting off and didn't align with you, before you cut off people, did you actually have a conversation about where you are going with this aligning? Did you have a conversation with what you are becoming and who you are becoming and what you want to change into? Did you have a conversation so that the next person can understand where you are at, and so that they are not phased with just being bombarded with a person, a stranger that they don't know? Because the problem is you becoming a stranger intentionally. And now it leaves the next person, especially during relationships, especially if you go and decide that you're going to change when you're married, especially when you decide that you're going to change. It's the same concept as you are dating this wonderful and amazing young lady, and you guys are so committed to each other. You guys love each other fully to the brim. Everything is amazing. And then one day she just decides that she's going to church. When she comes back from church, she's born again. She's not having sex with you anymore. She's not coming over to your house. If she comes over, she's sitting in the sitting room. Your girlfriend just disappears into the darkness of the night overnight. Your person that you have been with for 4 years just decides that if you are not going to meet them at church, then they don't want you anymore. So now you must convert your life, right, to fit into the lifestyle that they decided for themselves overnight, or over whatever situation. They decide to become this person, and it's fad it or lost it. Take it or leave it. But this is who I am. But was there any consideration about your partner? Can it not be a conversation? No, I gave my life to Jesus. Like, can we not talk first before you go and give your life to Jesus, so that we understand which are where we are going, and we understand if we're going to take separate ways, we understand how we're going to navigate through this. And this is how a lot of men or a lot of guys have been heartbroken by women, but they never tell this story because it's such a selfish story to talk about. So they all say, "Kucha bra, there's this girl that hurt me. This girl hurt me badly. She basically just abandoned me. Say net for me, halos, bro. Net so wa. Eh, say for you, halos." Now, when somebody says, they were dumped, right? And we ask why. And somebody says, "Hey, Kenny." It's most probably because it's very embarrassing for you to feel bad that somebody went and found Jesus and left you behind. So that's why many of us cannot tell that story. We can't tell the story. It's only brave people that say, "Kucha, yeah, she just went to become born again, bruh." You know? It's only some that tell. But most of them just lie. And then they just say, "Kucha, she cheated on me," or "she just went," or "she just decided she doesn't want anymore." But some girls really just go to church one Sunday with a friend of theirs, and they come back born again. They come back wearing long skirts. They come back with dookies. They just come back changed. And you are not allowed to complain because your competition is Jesus. Now, how do you compete with Jesus, my friend? How do you compete with Jesus without looking like an absolute fool? That, "Oh, you are competing with Jesus? Like, so you don't want me to be happy with Jesus? Like, oh, so you don't want Jesus to better my life? Like, yo." Imagine your competition is Jesus. How? That one is a tough one. Like, your competition, literally, it's either Jesus or you. You pale in comparison, my friend. And that is why some guys have been hurt. Because one girl just decided that she's going to go for personal growth. Personal growth means becoming born again and giving her life to Jesus. Confessing with the tongue. Eh? Confessing with the tongue and believing with the heart that God is the Father. just like that, Netsowa. It's over. Your nice hot girl that you loved, that was your baby, your boo thing. She, now she's calling you Brother Joseph. No Brother Joseph. How can you go from being my Shandy to Brother Joseph? Eh? How can you go from Mamzella to being Brother Joseph? She just decides that, this is a flip. No conversation, no nothing. No negotiations either. Because the church, Papa said, yeah, it's even worse if she's in a fake prophet's church. Aye! It's even worse because you can see, Kucha, like, why do you smell like doom? Because Papa was praying us so that the demons can come out. Like, you're like, you can see all these bad things that are happening and you can't say anything because when you say something, right, you are the enemy of progress and you are the demon. And it's just a matter of time before somebody at church sees you guys together one day and says, Kucha, that boyfriend of yours is a demon, so you must leave him. Even if she was not intending to leave you, she was just intending to be celibate. So you could have handled celibacy at least, you know, while you are maybe trying to see if maybe this born again life, yeah, can maybe work out because you love her. You understand? Maybe I should also become born again. I've seen men convert. I've seen men convert to Islam. I've seen men convert to Christianity. I've seen men convert in the name of women. Because the girl is a Muslim and she is not going to date a non-Muslim. So you, when you are gonna go there with your whole name, Shirmuye, eh? Shirumwe Katontoka. And you are going to become Abu Bakr. Brother Abu Bakr. Eh? Abu Bakr! Abu Bakr! You are given a Muslim name instantly and you are kneeling and you have a mat now wearing your dress. Yeah. All for Sister Fatima. Sister Nadia. Yeah. That's what happens when you love somebody, right? You try and support them through everything. But the problem comes in when there's no compromise from the other person. When somebody doesn't see your efforts. When somebody doesn't see where you are coming from. Many people say things like, and I say this a lot, but it really did touch my heart. It touched my heart tremendously. My friend that committed suicide always used to say he's alone. Even when he's sitting right next to me. And I would wonder, now this plastic that I'm having here with donuts, with toothbrush, eh, in this afternoon that I could be at work, but I'm at psychiatric, eh, in this evening that I could be at home cuddled up with my kids, and I'm here in the ER with you, I'm still alone. Like you don't see me. Or is it not me that you wanted to be here? You wanted someone else to be here because you are so alone, you winner. Right? And I know that it could be metaphorical where we could speak a bit of it in different aspects and different lights. But that is one thing that I also just, I hold it. I hold it because it's so deep on many levels. You understand? And that's the same as Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is going to go and convert into a Muslim dude so that he can be with Sister Fatima. So that they can be in the same religion with Sister Fatima. So that Sister Fatima doesn't leave him. Right? Because she made personal growth changes. She just decided that she's going to convert to Islam. And then she converted to Islam and we thought that everything was going to be rosy. And then she says, I can't be with a guy that's not in the church, that's not in the mosque. Now every time you're picking her up from the mosque on Wednesday, right? You also notice, Kucha, there's a church fella that is better living at the mosque and he's always chatting her up. You're like, hey, this one, ten delere. But what does he have that you don't have? He's a Muslim. So you try. And it's those personality changes that I'm talking about. The personality changes that shuts others out, that are not inclusive, that are not inviting, for others, that are not welcoming for others, that are not soothing others. Imagine if you just woke up tomorrow, right? And people are moving. Like, you're moving. Yeah. Like, I just decided, you know, for my own personal growth, we are going to Swakop. I'm going to live in Swakop. Now, your thought would be, like, when did you decide this? Like, no, it just happened, spur of the moment. Like, what do you mean, spur of the moment? This is a life-changing thing, and you mean spur of the moment. And also, maybe you know this person for doing impulsive things like this, and now you are scared because you've been here. You have been here before. They haven't. You've been here before. That other time when they just packed up the whole entire house and went to Ochuarongo, then you had to go and live in Ochuarongo for a little while and it was bad. You were suffering. Then you had to move back and it was just traumatizing for you as the person that is with a spouse like this that just ups and leaves. And now you wake up to somebody packing up the entire house and saying, I'm going to suck up. And it's not a matter of I'm asking for your opinion about it or I'm involving you in my experience of my personal growth or my where I'm at right now. It's just I'm doing this whether you like it or not. And if it sucks, I'll apologize later. If it doesn't sit well with you, I don't care. It sits well with me and I'll do it. Because it makes me happy. And you are sitting on the outside, hurt. Because the person that you knew would never do that. The person that you knew asked you. The person that you knew discussed things with you. The person that you knew, right, held your opinion at a high regard. The person that you knew would never do something like that to you. And now you're sitting with somebody that is doing this to you. And then they are calling it personal growth. They are calling it soul searching. They are calling it everything nice under the sun. But it's only nice for them. It's not nice for you. You are getting beat down, friend. Like you're receiving blows upon blows upon blows. And the worst part is that they don't see nothing. They don't see how you have shrunk. They don't see how bad this makes you feel. No matter how much you talk about it, it's like, yeah, I hear you. Oh, no, yeah, cool. Oh, yeah, I hear you. But technically speaking, but psychologically speaking, but personality speaking, but they have an answer instead of hearing your grievances. Because this is my life, right? The end of the day, you sit on the outside of this person's life and then you say, fine, okay, let them live. But what am I going to do with myself when this person is going through their metamorphosis? Especially when you have built a life together. And your life kind of revolves around them because there are so many things that you've dropped in the name of them. There's so many things that they've dropped in the name of you. So we have all made sacrifices for the relationships, you know, for the friendships, for the jobs, you know, for the marriage, for the people we love. We've all made these sacrifices, right? You know, our elders made sacrifices of taking care of us, even though it was their responsibility. At some point, it wasn't their responsibility anymore, but they kept going. That's why we are in our 30s and we can still go to our mother's houses and we can still go and get to share a rock with you because they know the struggles. That's why even when our mothers are in the village there, the first thing they do when they take their first harvest down, why? Because you remain their children. They don't have to, but they do it. They do it because they love you. So we all make sacrifices. So you make sacrifices. I make sacrifices. And now we are sitting here where you have no idea who I am at all. You have no idea who I am. And I have no idea who you are. Because apparently what we're doing is we're doing personal growth things. We are growing and we are changing and we are evolving. We're getting back into the rhythm of things, you know? I'm just changing. That guy that you used to love, you know? The one that used to make you laugh, the one that used to hear you, the one that used to want to talk to you. That guy has disappeared a long time ago. Now you're just stuck with this guy that doesn't talk. This guy that only talks about other people. This guy that only has conversations about everything else except what's really going on. This guy that can talk for 10 hours, right, about Igoli or generations, but can't ask how you feel without making the story about both of you. A person that cannot hear you only. And maybe you fell in love with that. You fell in love with the fact that this person could listen to you and say, yeah, I hear you. Like, I know how you feel. Yeah. I've experienced that as well. Like, yeah. When we can have healthy conversation. Now, every time you want to bring up a topic, the person brings out the Bible. Yeah. So be so, Johannes, otamuti, eh? Every single conversation that you guys are having, Jesus is also just the third wheel in your relationship. And it's not like you hate Jesus, but I think she's using Jesus wrong. Because you no longer have a space. And also there's something bad about feeling like you no longer have space in someone's life. You are no longer valuable in someone's life because they don't give you that reassurance. And they sure as hell don't show you that you are important. It's like having a friend that is entertaining other friends and never calls you. But this is a friend that you used to be with every day. Now all of a sudden, I know I can't see you today. Why, you guys had a thing? Kucha, yeah. On Wednesdays, we go out for karaoke. Then all of a sudden, she's going karaokeing with somebody else. Now, I understand that as adults, we're supposed to have healthy adult relationships, but there are certain things that are just for certain people because of a certain reason. And karaoke used to be our thing. And now you're sharing our thing with other people. It's the same as you're also faithful. You never thought in a million years that your husband would ever cheat on you. And now you're stuck with a cheat. You have no idea who this person is. Because you have built an idea of who they are to you. And then they came and then they crushed it. And they are not even helping you rebuild it. You are just supposed to apparently understand overnight that it was a one-time thing, man. It was a one-time thing on Birine Shop. And you guys wonder why wives are angry. You guys wonder why there's no peace. It's because you killed the guy that she used to love. You killed the guy that she used to trust. You killed the guy that she wanted to marry overnight. And you're wondering why she doesn't want to marry you. It's because we don't take people's emotions into consideration. We don't see how deep certain things are. And we don't give each other chances to mourn. Kucha, you can mourn now. And then when you are healed and you are done, then we can start working on me too, because I also have grievances. All of us are bringing up our grievances at the same time. We can't heal everybody at the same time. We can heal one at a time. And it will be better if we use all the resources to heal this one person until they're in tip-top shape. And then we can start healing the other one. But the patience that was kept in the first person's healing, the resources that were spent in the first person's healing must be extended to the second person. you can't say that, yeah, you're going to send your one child to Harvard and the other one must nakalitho ngobe. No. This one goes to Harvard, then let's also push for this one to also go to Harvard. It must be an equal playing field. But many of us are not doing that. And many people are growing resentful. And that's why when you have a baby with a woman and she's so smitten by the baby and she only cares about the baby, she only loves the baby, you start to feel not appreciated and not wanted. You start to feel like she just wanted the baby. She doesn't need me. And what happens? You go to someone that needs you. And then she wants to cry when you are leaving. But the truth is, who would stay with someone that doesn't want them? Who? Who would stay with someone that shows them every day that they are not important? I'm just asking. All right, my beloveds, ladies and gentlemen, that was the end of our conversation for tonight. We will also obviously continue our conversations tomorrow. I bid you farewell. I love you forever and a day. I hope that you know that you are important to me. And keep writing, okay? Keep writing. Keep writing your little notes along the way. Keep keeping tally on your soul, on your heart. They said, listen to the winds of every youth, a youth so played out it presents itself to be true. Do you hear the echoes of hopeless, echoing hopelessness, homelessness, while protesting for fair, for a chance for things to be fair? In despair, their eyes fill up with fear. Do you hear the sounds of the wind swaying ever so violently? Violets equate to the price of violence as you're violated by a boy that doesn't know what it is to be a man. Listen. Small conversations had in big rooms with vibrant of an audience ordained to be the voice of God in these times. We question our ancestry, hypocrisy. Listen. While waiting for a chance to shine, we listen. We listen and we don't judge. Good night to you.